Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Well, I didn't get to preach last week. I had a message prepared, but the Lord saw fit to send me an ice rink instead. So I had an opportunity then to kind of look and rework what I wanted to say this morning. I wasn't really settled on what I wanted to say last week, and so I spent this week kind of reflecting a little bit and praying some more and studying a little bit more, because somebody suggested to me that it might be helpful in starting out the new year after the January 1st message, when I talked about the importance of the spiritual disciplines and being in the Word and prayer and fellowship and those sorts of things, that I talk a little bit about what we're looking at as a church moving forward. I've been here now for about 18 months, maybe 19 months, I'm not sure, and it's... I love it here. I love you. I love this church. And I still pinch myself when I think about the fact that I get to be your pastor. I love it. So thank you very much for letting me come here. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done in my heart and in the hearts of you all. And so I'm just very thankful. And whenever I think about the fact that I've been here 19 months, I still feel like a rookie. And I guess in a lot of ways I am still a rookie, and that's okay. But it is important, I think, for us to talk about what it is that we're looking at moving forward. And people need to know where we're headed. Otherwise, we're just kind of wandering around aimlessly, aren't we? Everyone ends up kind of doing their own thing. And that is not what the Lord has designed for His church. It's not what the Lord would have, I think, for His people. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Because there is an end that we're striving for, and not just as a church, but as Christians. There's something that we want to see happen. There's a destination that we're headed towards as a church for God's people. And it's really not complicated, even though there are lots of different opinions out there from all sorts of different churches about what exactly they're supposed to be about. I think it's important that we understand what we're about. And it's not unique. It comes from the pages of Scripture. And there's a verse that this church has had as a theme verse since before my time here. And that verse was Colossians 1, verse 28. And I remember seeing this on the website when I was kind of investigating you all and thinking to myself, that's awesome. That's a great theme verse, because in that verse, you have a really good summary of what the goal is of ministry. The goal is this. It says there in verse 28, Him, who is Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom. And here's the goal. Until we present everyone mature in Christ. See, that is the goal for every Christian. Our goal is not just to get people to mark salvation off of their bucket list. It's to mature and grow in Christ. And that is the goal of discipleship. That is what Jesus was thinking when he said, make disciples, right? Baptizing them, obviously you want to see them become saved, but also teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the goal. Not just that we would get saved, but that we would grow in Christ-likeness. See, your salvation, and I mentioned this, your salvation was your birth. See? It doesn't end there. That's really the very beginning. And the expectation, and I trust that John and Amanda have this expectation for Levi, is that eventually he gets older and he grows and eventually he learns to walk. And any parent knows that their job doesn't end at birth. And this is obvious to parents, but it's not always obvious to Christians. Lots of ministries who are focused very heavily on evangelism believe their work is done as soon as somebody gets saved. But no, the work has just begun. Now, the difference between physical birth and spiritual maturity and physical maturity is it is not our physical bodies that mature. It is our minds. Our minds need to mature. In fact, to be mature in Christ is to have a renewed mind that approaches life circumstances and relationships from God's point of view. It is to be continuously God-conscious. Reformers used to talk about something called Imago Dei, which is before the presence of God. That's how you live your life. You wake up knowing God is there. You conduct yourself knowing God is there. You interact with others knowing that God is there. And we all know this if we sit and think about it, but we don't always live our lives that way. But to be continuously God-conscious. And it's not just to think about God. So I think about God all the time. I'm constantly thinking about God. It's to think about Him rightly. In other words, informed by the Scriptures. So that's the goal. But it doesn't happen automatically, does it? I wish it did, but it doesn't. Now, I think everyone who is redeemed and reconciled to God through Christ will in some aspect grow, but if there really isn't any intentional discipleship or anything like that, they kind of get lopsided. And we don't want that. We don't want that. We cannot just expect Christians to grow on their own, and it doesn't happen automatically. There is a means by which the growth takes place. And the means is the Word of God. The Word of God. And you see that in verse 28. And the end of verse 28 is the goal, right? So that we can all become mature in Christ. And the means is the first part of the verse. It says, Him we what? Proclaim. And we're warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom. To what end? That we all may mature in Christ. You see, what we think controls what we do. And if we can change the way we think, guess what else will change? What we do. It all permeates from that. And it is the Word of God that changes the heart and the mind. And just as babies, they need food to grow up, right? Yes, they do. The Bible says, like newborn infants, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Just think about that. See, food makes a person mature physically, but spiritual maturity, it will not happen unless our souls are feeding on the Word of God. You say, well, I eat once a week at church for an hour on Sunday. How would that happen if that was your physical diet? No, it wouldn't. And my fear is that there are a lot of people who are neglecting God's Word and neglecting fellowship and the teaching and preaching of God's Word to the detriment of their own souls. See, we must renew our minds, change our thinking about everything until it comes into conformity with the Scriptures. That's the goal. It is the Bible that teaches us about God. It is the Word of God that teaches us about our world and about ourselves. The Bible is what warns us what happens when we're disobedient to God, when we ignore God. And as we grow in our understanding of Scripture and our application of it, we mature. And maturity doesn't happen just by knowing the Bible. There are a lot of immature Christians that know lots of things about the Bible. You actually have to believe it. I mean, you meet people that are just really anxious about the world and circumstances, and everything's just a major problem for them, and you gently remind them, in love, you gently remind them that God is in control, and they snap back, I know! You say, well, good, that's step one. Now you got to believe that, right? You got to believe it, and you got to apply it, and then you'll grow in maturity. See, it's so easy, isn't it? No, it's hard, but it's simple. It's simple, and sometimes I think people think it's easier not to know anything about the Bible so that they can be anxious and not have to try to work at believing God, but you don't grow that way. So in one verse, we have the goal. It's maturity in Christ, and we have the means by which it is reached, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's what that word proclaim means, Him we preach. Or as verse 125 puts it, it's to make the Word of God fully known. And that doesn't just mean breadth, it means depth. You focus on the depth. There's a deepness and a richness to God's Word, and helping people understand that depth is what grounds them and roots them. That's what he means, making the Word of God fully known, completely known. It's very important. This is foundational. This is foundational. It's a bedrock principle for any faithful church. And I'm telling you this because I'm thinking about me when I came here and thinking about ministry and all of the things that I've been taught and the advice that I've gotten from people and looking at all the flash in the pan trends that are out there right now that are doing all they can to put a good face on things. And I'll be honest with you, when I came here, I didn't know exactly what to expect. I knew that you were a loving group. I knew that you were a very warm and friendly group. But I also knew that there was an uncertainty here, right? There was an uncertainty about the future of the church because there was really no young people here. There was a big gaping hole, and you remember that. And there was some worry about the future because of the lack of young people and the changing culture and all of these things happening so fast. And I'll be honest with you, none of that really concerned me. It just didn't concern me. And it's not that I never thought about it, but it didn't concern me because this is what I knew. I knew that God had gathered together a group of individuals who all professed faith in Jesus Christ. And I knew that those individuals identified themselves as members of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. And for me, that was enough. Because that meant there would be people here who needed to grow. And I knew that regardless of background, regardless of demographics, regardless of socioeconomic status, or any of the challenges that were facing this church, the fundamental need of this church is the same thing every church needs in every situation, and that is the priority of the Word of God. It was that simple, and it is that simple. And if we can master that fundamental, then everything else kind of falls into place. And even if it doesn't, you can at least know that you've been faithful. The goal is maturity. The priority must be the Word of God. And we need constant exposure to God's Word. It should influence all of our thinking. See, it should be the Bible that colors the world around us. We must know the Scriptures. We must treasure the Scriptures. It's a precious gift from God. I mean, the Scriptures, it tells us about our salvation. In it, we see the character of God Himself. It explains to us what's going on around us. Have you ever wondered what in the world is happening? The Bible tells us what is happening. We have wisdom from God that explains to us what is wrong with us, what is wrong with the rest of the world. The Scriptures also inform us about how we are to relate to one another. The Bible leads us in that. It tells us how to treat our spouses, how to treat our children. The Bible tells us how to interact or even respond to people who have sinned against us and who have wronged us. The Scriptures tell us how to have interpersonal relationships. The Scriptures explains to us God's story and tells us how we fit into that plan. This is something the Bible reveals to us. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to rewire our brains and orient our minds to truth. The Bible establishes us. It directs us. This is why the psalmist said in Psalm 119, he says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That needs to be more than a verse you memorized in Sunday school. This is what the Scriptures provide for us. And I knew, regardless of the challenges this church would face, if we could be a body committed to the Word of God, if we as a fellowship could make the Word of God a priority in our lives, in all areas of life and ministry, We would have all we needed to grow and flourish. Because everything stems from that. Everything stems from that. Mark Dever wrote an excellent book called 9 Marks of a Healthy Church. And I would commend it to you. And he said this in that book. He said, if you establish the priority of the word, then you have in place the single most important aspect of the church's life. And growing health is virtually assured because God has decided to act by his Spirit through his word. Amen. I believe that. And he's not saying that we should assume, okay, we'll make the word a priority and then all of these young people will flock in and we'll be this big vibe. Well, wait a minute here. That's not necessarily what he's saying. What he's saying is that we can be sure that God will use his word to grow the hearts of his people that are here. And you know, I wasn't sure if half of you would leave when I showed up. But I'm glad that really none of you have really left. And I praise God for the way that you guys have received me, received my family, and received his word. But I was prepared for that. And I just thought to myself, you know, I'll just take that half and we'll grow in our understanding of God's word together. And it'll be great. It'll be great. And God has certainly exceeded my expectations beyond. I'm ready to die today, and it was totally worth it. This has been wonderful. I mean, you guys have been amazing. But here we are. Here we are. Did you guys lose me? Am I still, can you all still hear me? Am I still coming through the speakers back there? All right. No? Something just dropped dramatically. Oh, there I am. Okay. Are we good? Okay, what do we need to make a priority? Okay, good. You're still listening. Good. Master that fundamental principle. That's the goal. You know, people say churches need to be more gospel-centered. You know, churches really need to do a better job focusing on evangelism. You know, I don't know why churches don't pray more. You know, churches really need to emphasize love and service. Churches need to be hospitable. Churches need to do a better job cultivating community. We need to be better about all of those things. Those things are important. But the reason they're important is because the emphasis they're given in the Word. You see? It's the Word of God that is the priority. And when we commit ourselves to living and breathing the truth of God's Word, guess what happens? We'll be a gospel-centered church. We'll be a praying church. We'll be an evangelistic church. We'll be a loving church, a trusting church, a church that glorifies God. And not because I made you feel guilty through a sermon about how little you pray or evangelize. But because the Spirit of God will work in our hearts and our minds to transform us holistically. And we won't be lopsided. Because we'll be committed to Christ and his word, and we'll find new life and new joy as we grow in our love for God and for others. We'll start ministering, using our gifts in greater capacity, not out of guilt, but out of love for the God who has blessed us beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, because we'll know him. Ministry will no longer be keeping up appearances. It will be out of love for the God who has saved us. And that's what you want. And there are a lot of churches who survive on people who minister out of pride. And it's heartbreaking. We got to go back to the Word and say, Lord, help me understand you. Without the steady influence of the Word, churches become lopsided. Christians become lopsided. You'll hear of churches that excel at service, but their personal lives are a complete train wreck. Marriages and families are crumbling within the walls of the church, but everyone puts a good face on it because they seem to be doing the right things. We don't want that. I don't want that for you as members of this church. I want you to get into the Word and love the God of the Word. You know, Ephesians 4:11 says that the role of a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why God gives His church pastors. In fact, if you look, it's not just pastors, it's the church. All of these gifts, these giftings, these offices, you've got the prophets, which is essentially the Old Testament, leading to Christ. You have the apostles, which is the New Testament that we have here, the teaching of the apostles. You have evangelists who preach, and then you have pastors or preachers or teachers and pastors, and our job is to equip. All of that goes into it. They're all word-based. They're all word-based. Now, look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what?" Say again. Thoroughly furnished. Is that the King James, Don? Thoroughly furnished. I like that. Some of the newer translations say, equipped. You see, it's the Word of God that does the equipping. That's why I want you to treasure God's Word. And not just me preaching, but that's why I recommend so many books. It seems like every time I get in this pulpit, there's at least two books I'm telling you you ought to read. It's because I want to expose your minds to saints of the past and present who have thought deeply about God's Word and the truths of His Word that can aid us in our worship and our understanding. And I would love for you to listen to more sermons, not just from me, but from guys that love the Word and trust the Word. So we can constantly be exposed to this. It's always important to understand who's influencing our minds, or what is influencing our minds. It is the entertainment of the day. Is it Tony Robbins? What are you listening to? What voices are you allowing to influence your thinking? Those are important questions for us. Fox News, you're going to be crazy. CNN, you're going to be crazier. What is influencing your thinking? It's important for us to think about that. But even more important is spending consistent time in the Word of God itself. That's why I recommend Bible reading plans, encourage prayer and the spiritual disciplines. I want you to be fruit-bearing Christians who are growing in grace. And so I say, get to the Word. And I almost feel like, boy, if I were looking at 2017, if all of you collectively, if we could do some sort of survey, that, and all of you, there was a line pointing up to prayer and Bible reading, I'd be like, that was a successful year. Regardless of membership, if it's up or down, it doesn't matter. Regardless of any other things that churches look to for success, if we could just as a body say, you know what, I've read the Word more, and I've prayed more, I've grown closer to God, I have loved Him more, praise God. And I think John, the Apostle John, at the end of his life understood this. That's why he said in 3 John, he said, "I have no greater joy than this, than to see my children walking in the truth." Boy, it blesses my heart as a pastor, and it will bless you. See, it's a win-win situation. It's a win-win situation. That's why I pray that we could always approach our life with thankful hearts and open Bibles. If I had to say something about the vision I have for the future of this church, it would be that all members of SNCCC make the Word of God a priority in their lives. That we would all treasure God's Word. That we would seek to know it, to understand it, and to live it out in our daily lives. And to live it out in the context of this fellowship here and in our communities. See, it's not enough to say, "I believe in Jesus," and expect everything to work out. We need to take His words. We need to know them, believe them, and obey them, and trust them to receive the promised peace and rest. And it grieves me to see Christians who are ignorant of God's Word. Their lives, they dry up and they become apathetic. And it grieves me to see that because it's not the way that it should be. Or something worse happens. They become fanatical about superficial spirituality and call that Christianity. That's what happens to a lot of Christians who are starving. Is they get crazy about some emotional experience and suddenly that becomes Christianity for them. And their hearts are hardened. And we talked about this when I preached on Colossians 2 when Paul said, "Let no one defraud you of your prize," taking his stand on visions that he's seen from angels. That's why we need to have the Word anchor us. Because there is a richness and there is a depth of life God intends for us to enjoy, even in the midst of trials. And that will not be possible if we don't know God through His Word. The foundation is the priority of His Word. And as a church, we're going to try some different things, some things that we can do to reach out, things that we can adjust, and all of that's fine, and I'm looking forward to those things. Things as simple as making sure that we just updated our website in 2016. Things as simple as making sure visitors know where the Sunday school classrooms are. Those are all good things. They're great things, but they're not the focus. Because if we can master the fundamental principle of making the Word of God a priority, then much of what we desire for this church, it's either going to be redefined or it's going to be fulfilled. Mastering that's the foundation. I guess you could say, in a sense, that's the introduction of my message. No. Well, I want to share with you just a few things that are happening, okay, here at this church. Some things that the deacons have done. And then give you some practical suggestions on what you can do as members to make sure that this church is healthy and strong. And one of the things that we have been talking about, that's really been talked about for a while, even before I got here, is a renewed emphasis on discipleship. And through those conversations, it became clear that we are responsible to care for the members here. And we understood that if we're going to be a church that honors Christ and be faithful to the Word, then we needed to be spiritually invested in the lives of our members. And Jesus said, "This new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Well, we ran into a problem. We had lots of members, and nobody really knew who they were. And they hadn't been here in 20 years. And so we thought, well, how can we be spiritually invested in the lives of members of this church that we don't know and haven't been here for 20 years? And so we had to go through everything and talk about each individual, and there's lots of discussions. This has been going on for a very long time. And we came up with member care. You guys have heard about member care. And the idea is making sure that the members of this church are connected. We want to make sure that every member is connected to other believers in Christ who can minister to them and integrate them into the life of the church. And it's also important to understand that I believe very strongly that discipleship is an every member responsibility. Every member of the church is responsible for discipleship. And so our desire is to create and maintain a culture of discipleship that is built on the Word. And that doesn't mean that every member needs to be up here preaching, but it means that we all should be involved in the lives of each other. That's really what it looks like. This is what it looks like, okay? We invest in the spiritual lives of each other. That's what it looks like. And it's more than just social engagement, more than just going out to a movie or watching a ball game with other people. You pray for one another. You speak the Word to each other. You counsel one another, encourage one another, love and serve one another, speak the truth to one another, confront and warn one another, and urge each other to always remain faithful to Christ. This is what we should be doing for each other. But never forget to remind each other of our salvation and the love that God has for us in Christ. I mean, we're a family. That's what we are. You're my family. We're in this together. And you know what? We're messy people. And we have all sorts of problems. And we're striving by God's grace to love each other. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. But that's okay, because God's grace is sufficient. And His Word is sufficient to guide us along the way. As long as we stay committed to His Word. Amen, Levi. Welcome to the family. And then there are days when the strong ones will have bad days. There are days when the weak ones will have good days. And we got to be patient with each other. We got to love one another. Not because it's just the right thing to do, because it's what God's Word tells us to do. Here's some things that you can do for us. Number one, pray for us. You want to make sure this church is healthy and strong? Then pray. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for all of the leaders in this church. Pray for yourselves. Pray for the other people in this church. Number two, study God's Word. If you're a member of this church, then the strength of this church depends on your spiritual strength, right? And if you're not studying God's Word, and if you have no interest in the Bible, then that will weaken the church. So be committed to the Scriptures. Don't neglect the Bible. Spend time with God. Make daily Bible reading a habit. Listen to sermons by teacher. I mean, I used to go out and mow the lawn, and I just put a sermon in my ear, and I would do that instead of listen to music. I mean, if you have a commute to work, listen to something that is edifying. And I don't mean edifying in a way that makes you feel really good, like spiritual Twinkies. I mean something that actually makes you think, some depth, not just K-Love. And I know I rip on K-Love all the time. But K-Love is Twinkies, okay? I know people are going to write me emails or something. But okay, K-Love once a week, okay? You can go to Taco Bell once a week. You know, read good Christian books as an alternative to what you usually do, which is Netflix, Facebook. And I don't know, it's hard because our brains are drawn towards that. But do that, and you're going to find your soul refreshed. You will. And that's going to strengthen you. And because you're a member, guess who else it will strengthen? The church, right? Number three, invest in the lives of the people here. Invest in them. Now, you don't have to be everyone's best friend, okay? And I would also encourage you to go outside of your normal circles. Find somebody that you don't usually hang out with, somebody that's maybe not in your whatever. And if you're kind of used to your own group, get outside of that group and see if you can be friends with somebody else. And let it be a spiritual investment. And a lot of that will happen naturally if you're growing in the Word. But, you know, it might be as simple as just committing to praying for somebody every day for 2 weeks. Just imagine, you know what, that person right there, I'm going to pray for him every day for 2 weeks. And then start praying. And then go up to him and say, you know what, I don't know you, but Jake made me feel guilty about how little I invest in people. So I'm going to pray for you. And I'm just going to pray that God blesses you and strengthens you and encourages you. And if you have anything specific that you want me to pray for, let me know and I'll pray for you. I mean, how blessed would you feel if somebody did that to you? These are very simple ways. Go out to coffee with somebody. Read the Bible together. I mean, these are very simple things that we can do that will strengthen our fellowship. You know, my previous church, we didn't have a building. We met in a college that didn't like us, and we had 4 hours on Sunday, and we had to scoot. And everyone was jealous about this building, because it's beautiful. This is a gorgeous building. I mean, look at it. Stained glass, how cool is that? And we even had Jackie playing the organ, which is awesome, and I love that. Right? Is that what that is? Yeah. We don't use those things anymore, though. It's a gorgeous building. But my favorite feature of this building is one brick. And it's right out there. And I'd encourage you to see it. Do you know what it is? Is it on that side? I'm directionally challenged. But I asked for directions, so it's okay. Right. What does the brick say? The cornerstone. Who is who? Jesus Christ. That's my favorite brick. Because what it tells me is that over 100 years ago, when this church was formed, and 95 or so years ago when this church was built, the founders of this church understood exactly what they were supposed to be doing. And I pray, by God's grace, moving forward, we will always proclaim Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. And I pray that we will not lose sight of the priority of His Word, and may we fix our eyes on Jesus, our cornerstone, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I know that we want to be faithful to You, and I know that many of us struggle to know what that looks like. God, I pray that everyone, regardless of their maturity, regardless of their clarity, regardless of their understanding, would find a home here. And I pray, Father, that they would not feel uncomfortable or awkward, but they would feel loved and encouraged and nourished. And I know, Lord, that we have a very good mix of people from all different walks of life, from all different stages spiritually. And God, I pray that by Your grace and in the power of Your Spirit, may we learn to love one another. Because You've said in Your Word that the world will know that we are disciples by the love that we have for one another. And I know, God, that that love needs to be defined by Your Word. And it's not possible unless we commit to following You and knowing You and loving You through Your Word. And God, we need Your help. I need Your help as a pastor. The deacons need Your help as deacons, and we all need Your help as Christians to help us shed the sin that so easily encumbers us and fix our eyes on Jesus. So help us do that, Lord, but I also pray, Father, that we would be encouraged knowing that regardless of what it is we're struggling with, You love us deeply, and You love us passionately, and You love us more than we could even understand, and You proved that by sending Your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to die the death that we deserve while we were still sinners. And as You say in Your Word, Father, how much more if You did not spare Your own Son but delivered it up for us all? God, You will freely give us all things. May we take comfort in that, and may we always trust in You. And may 2017 be a fruitful year where we're growing in grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.